From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In one part of the country, the current financial turmoil is creating a queasy sense of déjà vu. 20 years ago, Texas was on the front lines of what was then the country's worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. It had some familiar causes: deregulation, then haphazard regulation, followed by imprudent loans, financial collapse, and finally, bailout.
Between 1980 and 1994, almost 3,000 savings and loans and banks closed or needed government assistance. The largest number were in Texas. As NPR's John Burnett reports, many Texas banks are holding strong today, in part because they learned the hard way.
Let's time travel back to 1988 and tune into the NBC Nightly News.
Today was the biggest day in history for the bailout of troubled savings and loans. Six institutions were rescued. To do the job, government regulators put up $6.8 billion. But the bailout effort is far from over.
$6.8 billion may sound like chump change these days. The rest of the country will recall that Texas and the surrounding oil states were thrown into a depression by a perfect storm of plunging oil prices, inflated real estate, high interest rates, tax reforms, a vacuum of oversight, and lots of bad loans. The spectacular collapse of the S&L industry ended up costing the U.S. government more than $150 billion. But today, the survivors are healthier because of it.
Hello, Mr. Powell.
How are y'all today?
How are you, Jackie?
Pretty good. You all right?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Pat Hickman, president and CEO of Happy State Bank, strides into the namesake branch in the town of Happy in the Texas Panhandle. Happy's motto: the town without a frown.
We're doing this interview here in the Happy State Bank in Happy, Texas. Are you a banker without a frown?
Gosh, things are good. We made $5 million all of last year. We've made that through 8 months this year. It's going to be a great year.
A healthy oil and gas industry has certainly buoyed southwestern economies, but Texas bankers say their institutions are strong today in part because they avoided the subprime mortgages that have caused so much havoc elsewhere. Hickman says he saw this train wreck coming. In recent years, loan applications were coming his way that he couldn't believe.
We'd ask the people, we'd say, do you make $150,000 a year? And they'd say, no, I make $90,000 a year. Well, why does it say 150? Well, the guy that was representing XYZ Mortgage Company told me that's what I had to have on the application to qualify for the loan. Well, we would look at him and say, sorry, we can't do that.
2 decades ago, Texas banks and S&Ls made their share of irresponsible loans. Jim Gardner was president of a large bank in Dallas that eventually went under, and he remembers how fast and loose it was in those days.
I can think of one bank in Midland where on energy loans, if it was $2 million or less, they didn't even take a mortgage because it wasn't worth it to go to that much trouble. Just make it unsecured.
At the time, the rest of the country saw Texas lenders as so many devious J.R. Ewings fleecing their depositors. S&L magnates, who Texas Monthly Magazine wrote at the time, drove their thrifts to ruin through an orgy of reckless lending and self-indulgence. Back then, the federal government decided to let the ailing institutions die, though depositors' accounts were insured. Today, the Treasury Department has chosen to inject capital into huge, troubled national banks, which rankles Steve Spurlock, a former Texas state bank regulator and now a bank lobbyist.
I find it interesting and candidly a bit offensive that I don't recall anyone rushing to fix the Texas problem, which apparently was caused by not only our greed, but our stupidity, but apparently it's catching.
And in the wake of most great national screw-ups, enter the G-men.
As I tell everyone, when my area's hot, it's bad for the world.
William Black is a former federal bank regulator who helped close more than 300 S&Ls. He later wrote a book titled, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. As Black has watched the grim headlines about Wall Street finance houses going bust, he's thought how preventable it all was.
It is the failure to learn the appropriate lessons out of the savings and loan crisis, the failure to put in place regulations. When you deregulate, de facto, you decriminalize. the regulators in the financial sphere are the cops on the beat. If you take us off the beat, there is no one to stop the elite white-collar criminals.
One of the men he's talking about is Tom Gobert, who became, by his own reckoning, the poster boy for Texas S&Ls.
They can put you in jail. They can destroy you if you let them. But if you've got good work ethic and you're smart people and you're willing to work hard, the world doesn't end.
Gobert, once a major Democratic Party fundraiser, served 3 years in federal prison for bankruptcy fraud. Prosecutors asserted he looted his Independent American Savings and Loan at a cost to taxpayers of $500 million. Gobert continues to profess his innocence to all charges, and he blames the regulators for driving his S&L into ruin. Today, at 68, the white-bearded grandfather is back in the real estate development business in Dallas and thinking a lot lately about lessons not learned.
What's happening in the country today is exactly what happened to Texas.
In the wake of the Texas financial catastrophe, there was plenty of blame to go around. To congressmen who coddled wealthy S&L campaign donors, to the federal government for creating policies that allowed thrifts to gamble wildly with depositors' money, to accounting firms that gave their blessings to sick institutions, and to the S&L con artists themselves, about 1,000 of whom were convicted. Tom Gobert says there were many villains. He considers himself a scapegoat, and a new cast of characters is about to take the fall.
I'm fearful. I see now the FBI marching into Lehman Brothers and marching into here because the government's going to spend billions of dollars to put the blame someplace else so that they're not going to be blamed for poor policy and poor regulation.
Said one developer who survived the Texas calamity, "We've seen this movie before. It seems to be the same every time." John Burnett, NPR News, Austin.